friend of mine years ago, he was looking in the Word of God, and the Bible said that in heaven neither give nor be given in marriage. And he looked at that and he thought, till death us do part, I'm going to be free from her the rest of my eternal life. He says, praise God. He went to be heaven several years ago. She's still hanging around down here. But you'll get her one of these days. Question tonight is, will we know each other in heaven? Will we know each other in heaven? Interesting thought. 1 Corinthians chapter number 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I had my defibrillator put in this week. It's down here underneath my arm. And not really comfortable. And it's really, I got a tremendous suntan there. It's a deep, dark black. Good size. Looks like I got beat up pretty good. Ron Todd called me about a week and a half ago or so, and he was talking. He says, how's that thing work? He says, a defibrillator, huh? He says, you won't be able to tell any more lies, will you? I said, that's not only that, I won't be able to embellish my illustrations any longer. And so we laughed a little bit, and then he asked me if there was a remote for it. And he says, if your wife gets hold of that remote, she's going to use that like they use on dogs when they get out of line. How many women would like to have a remote like that? Don't break your arm raising it so fast. Life in our world. 1 Corinthians 13, let's read this chapter, great chapter. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. But whether it be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether it be tongues, they shall cease. Whether it be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When as a child I spake as a child, understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away foolish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then what? Face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. I am so thankful the translators use the word charity instead of love, because it has in my heart and mind even greater in the idea of giving. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we thank you this evening for the privilege, the opportunity to stand here and proclaim the truth of the Word of God. I ask, O God, tonight that our hearts might be blessed as we consider the beauties that await us because of your great grace. Work in our hearts tonight, for we pray in Christ's name. Amen. One of the things I find people are very concerned about is, what's it going to be like when we get to heaven? My biggest concern is really, are you getting there? But after that, I think of the scripture that says, eye hath not seen nor ear heard. And we have no concept of how great and marvelous it's going to be. Think about this for a moment. At conception, that little child is in the tummy of the mama. All that little child knows for the next 9 months as it grows and matures, is that inside, that area with all that fluid around. It's all it knows. That child, as we understand, can hear us and can be blessed by our voice, by music, and those types of things. Can be somewhat stimulated by outside things. But all that changes the day of the birth. And so from one world to another, that little baby probably can never imagine what is about to take place. And I think of the same thing as we go into the very presence of God. Of all the questions asked concerning heaven, probably the one that I've heard so often, maybe most frequently, by God's people is, will we recognize each other in heaven? I sometimes wonder, why are we asking that question? Are we afraid that they might see us? I believe the Bible says yes. What does God reveal in His Word? Well, here in 1 Corinthians, notice with me in verse number 12, especially chapter 13, for now we see through a glass how? But then face to face. Now I know how? In part. But then shall I know, even as also I am known. I believe here from this verse that the Word of God definitely implies that you and I will know each other in the future place that we call heaven. And that's an exciting prospect. And oftentimes we refer that there are people over there waiting for us. I don't know how anxious they are to see us, but nonetheless, they will be able to recognize us. By the way, be very careful in some of the remarks you make. I hear a lot of folks say, well, Grandma's watching over me. Well, I'm not sure what Grandma's watching over, but I know the Lord is. Let's don't ascribe to those who have gone ahead that quality which belongs to God and the Holy Spirit of God. He is our great protector. He's the one that watches over, and to Him we ought to look. Thank God if Grandma was in His presence and He'd be watching over her as well. So we find, first of all, here in this scripture, that it seems as though we're going to know each other and more perfectly than we do even now. Will that make our fellowship sweeter? I believe so. You know, sometimes as we go to church, we just kind of put on this facade and we say, hi, how are you doing? And we never really get to know somebody. And as time progresses and we get to know them, there's a deep relationship. And there's the marvelous thing that as we know them and they know us, that, how can I say it? We know each other has their backs. We know there's somebody pulling for us. We know there's somebody who cares. And it's a wonderful, marvelous thing that's in our lives. I think also as we look to the Word of God, as we ask that question, how do we know that we will know each other in heaven? I think of the story of the rich man and Lazarus. I believe it confirms it. We find that there are three personalities mentioned in that particular story in Luke chapter 16. There's the rich man, there's Lazarus, and Abraham. And the point to notice is that they all recognized each other. They knew who each other was. And even the lost man who is in hell, and of course that's a whole different story and understanding of what took place at that particular time, but he recognized Lazarus and he recognized he was with Abraham. If lost souls have the power of recognition, how much more shall those of us who are saved be able to recognize each other? Some people say, well, this is only a parable in the Word of God. And it's only a picture, it's figurative. But even that is so, that which is figurative is lesser than what the end product is. A parable has its hidden or has its meaning, but it has also a hidden meaning that makes it even far greater. And so our Lord, as He has given us this instruction, I believe one of the things is, hey, listen, we will know each other in heaven. Say, why is this all important? Wouldn't it be good if we're going to know each other in heaven, we ought to know each other here? I mean, seriously. I believe there's another reason we find from the Word of God in Luke chapter number 9, and that is what we call the transfiguration. We find Jesus took Peter, James, and John, and they went up to the Holy Mount, where He was transfigured before them. In other words, He took upon Himself at that moment His glorified personage that would be shown throughout eternity. And we find from that story that Moses and Elijah appeared suddenly, and the disciples immediately recognized them. Moses at that time had been dead 1,500 years. Elijah had been gone for 900 years. And yet we find Peter, James, and John knew who they were. There's no suggestion that there was an introduction made. It's just that they seemed to automatically know it. We're going to know each other in heaven? I think so. What a blessing that will be. And you and I have those who are, can we say, awaiting us? And like we sometimes say on the other side. I believe not only that, but we find that the nature of heaven itself requires that. We find heaven being revealed in the New Testament really is a social place. We're social creatures. God calls us sheep. Not necessarily a compliment, but sheep, they what? They herd together. And they like to have others round about. Herding animals don't feel comfortable if they're by themselves. You can buy yourself a horse and put it out in your yard, he'll do all right. But if you have a couple others, he will not be standing by himself. He'll be with the others. Just the way that it works. And heaven will be a social place. I believe it's the Christian's home. Can you conceive of a home where those who live there don't know each other? We're always confident, the Bible says, knowing that whilst we're at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord. Our home is yet ahead of us. We live in a house here, but there's that which is a home throughout all of eternity. We find also that heaven is the Father's house. In my Father's house are many mansions. He says, if it were not so, I would have told you. Can you imagine the children in the Father's house not being able to recognize and to know each other? I started to come across the building. Some of you know we had a funeral, or I had a funeral day, and we allowed them to use the gymnasium. And they had some food over there, and for which I was thankful, because that chicken I stole was really good. And it was done to perfection. Anybody hungry? And anyways, lady walked up to me, and I had met her before, but I forgot about our conversation. She says to me, your cousin's my cousin. So really, that makes us cousins? No. I'm a cousin on the other side of the family. She's from their father's side. I'm from the mother's side in this particular thing. And so we was talking about that, and we was remembering when we went to visit their house. They had 43 kids. Well, not that many. I think there was 10 of them. And they had two bedrooms. And what I remember about that the most is that house they lived in didn't have any screen windows, because the kids were too busy chasing each other in and out of the windows. I thought, what kind of place am I in? And so we were laughing about it together, because that's the thing that we remembered about it. But we remember those cousins. I've had the privilege to find out that each one of those cousins from that family have come to know Christ their Savior. Marvelous to see that in their lives. But God has got a house for us. And I think we recognize each other there. I believe heaven's spoken to us as a family circle. The Bible says in Ephesians 3:15, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Can you imagine a family that doesn't know its people? Cannot recognize nor converse with them? I mean, really, can you imagine that? You come to my house about Christmas time, or any time that all of them get together, there might be 30 or 40 people there, and they all know each other. And some of them will be out on the back porch if the weather's good. Some, even if it's not, they got screw loose, a few of them. And some, they'll be in the living room. Some will be down in the basement. Some will be in the kitchen. They're just everywhere. And one of the things I notice is they kind of rotate. And they move. If you happen to be in the living room and you happen to have a chair to sit in, I mean a soft one, you don't want to leave. Because it will be taken shortly by somebody who's moving in. But what are we saying? We're saying, hey, there is a family circle. And wouldn't it be strange if we didn't know each other? Did not have the power to recognize and converse. The Bible also describes heaven as a city. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:10, for he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Are the citizens in this heavenly city to be strangers one to another? I don't think so. We could say the same thing as we think about heaven being a kingdom. Our names are written in heaven. Look up Luke 10:20. Names represent personalities. So if our names are in heaven, we are already known there. Shall we not be recognized there? Another aspect as we think about this, heaven will be a tremendous time. Amen? And sometimes we don't look forward to it enough. And we get so tied up in the business and activity of the day, how marvelous it is one day we'll be in the presence of God and we will know all of those that are with Him. The Apostle Paul, as he wrote to the Corinthian people, I believe that he was excited about that one day he would be with them once again. He says, as also ye have acknowledged us in part, that we are your rejoicing, even as ye also ours in the day of the Lord Jesus. He's looking forward to that day that he might be with them. I believe also the return of the Lord Jesus Christ is that which guarantees our recognition in heaven. The Christians at Thessalonica, that's all that I ever do wrong, I'll be good shape. I had tapioca on my mind. I don't know what was going on. But he writes to them because they're concerned about this. And he says, the dead in Christ shall rise first. After that, we who are alive will be caught up together with him in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Matter of fact, he tells us to encourage each other with those words. Yeah, we're going to be together with our loved ones throughout all of eternity. Those who know Christ, we get to be with them. And thus, there becomes a comfort in anticipation that we might see and recognize them. Now let's also understand the most important and that which we're going to be most excited about is seeing Jesus. He whose face we've never gazed upon, we will have the privilege to do that. And praise the Lord for it. We have, by the way, a glorious body like unto His that is awaiting. What are we going to know in heaven? Everything we need to know. Everybody we need to know. Yeah. The exciting prospect we have. Some people say, well, you just believe in pie in the sky. I don't know about you, I like pie. Sounds pretty appetizing to me. And those of us who have somebody that's there, even so, come Lord Jesus. Amen. But here's another prospect. We know those who aren't. They need to hear. We can't make them believe, but we can make them hear. Let's not be afraid to talk about our Savior and that which is glorious on our behalf. That's our testimony. And let others know. Father, tonight, thank you so much for some of these glorious facts that just encourage our hearts so much. And Father, as we go through life and all the struggles and all the pains and the difficulties and the things that take place, those darts that are fired by the devil, Lord, we know that in you lies our hope. In you and through what you have for us becomes a tremendous goal of our life. Father, bless and work in our hearts. If we're not excited about heaven, God, I pray that you would work in our hearts that we might be. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.